Good evening, everyone. Your news time now is just before 5 past the 5 o'clock hour. I'm Hannah Blevins, and I'll be bringing you this evening edition of the news. Authorities are investigating after an inmate was found dead from an apparent suicide at a North Arkansas correctional facility. The Department of Corrections said staff at the North Central Unit in Calico Rock found 39-year-old Eric Fouth hanging in the facility's boiler room this morning. He had been assigned to work. Fouth was discovered by other inmates working in the area, and he was pronounced dead after he was taken to an area hospital. Arkansas State Police are investigating Fouth's death, and the Corrections Department says it's also conducting an internal investigation. Fouth was serving a 30-year sentence for residential burglary out of Pulaski County. Legislation introduced by U.S. Senator John Boozman supporting housing, infrastructure, and facilities for the U.S. military forces and their families, as well as increased funding for veterans' health care and benefits, is headed to President Donald Trump's desk to be signed into law. The Senate approved the bill on Wednesday, and the House of Representatives passed the package today. The bill includes a provision requiring the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to submit a departmental response plan to Congress that can be applied at the Fayetteville VA Medical Center in all future cases of clinical disclosures and provide recommendations about changes necessary to prevent such incidents. In addition, the bill includes funding to support medical treatment and health care for approximately 9.3 million enrolled patients in FY 2019. Veterans homelessness funding of $1.8 billion for VA programs, including $380 million for the Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, is in Boozman's bill. Funding is also provided for staffing and resources utilized to reduce the wait time and backlog of disability decisions on appeal and to meet the demand for other benefit programs. The bill fulfills mandatory funding requirements, including veteran disability compensation programs for 4.9 million veterans and 432,000 survivors, education benefits for nearly 1 million veterans, guaranteed home loans for 519,000 veterans, and vocational rehabilitation and employment training for more than 149,000 veterans. Among the provisions is $1.1 billion for veterans' electronic health record systems and management to improve the efficiency and quality of veterans' health care. The bill provides additional resources for the Veterans History Project, an initiative that builds an archive at the Library of Congress of oral histories and personal documents of the men and women who have served our country in uniform. Boozman and his staff have conducted nearly 50 interviews of Arkansas veterans for inclusion in the archive and have trained more than 400 people across the state to participate in the project. Workers from two area power companies are headed to the East Coast to assist with recovery efforts from Hurricane Florence. Employees from Entergy Arkansas left on Tuesday, and employees from North Arkansas Electric Cooperative, or the NAEC, headed out yesterday. 8 linemen from NAEC are headed to Crewe, Virginia, to work with the Southside Electronic Cooperative there. The Virginia Power Company has more than 55,000 customers in the central and southern part of the state. North Arkansas Electric Cooperative CEO Mel Coleman says anytime they can help other electric co-ops, they are glad to do it.
This is what co-ops are all about. 950 of us across the country, and when one of us has a problem, we all come to everybody's rescue. As we're all familiar with, you know, we had an ice storm in 2009, and we had co-op folks from all over the country come and help us. So I've said it once, and I'll say it again, I would rather send help as ask for help. So we're sending 8 of our men are in Crewe, Virginia. Now, I don't know if they'll stay there. A lot of that depends on which way this storm goes. The bottom line is they could be in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever. They're there to help. They're there to get the power back on when it goes off. And I'm sure there'll be hundreds of thousands of folks without power in 4 or 5 states.
The NAEC linemen headed to Virginia include Gary Tanner, Chris Tomlinson, Paul Garrison, Shane Goodson, Ben Leslie, Clint Ray, Dennis Reynolds, and Andy Ward. Coleman says typically in situations like this, they are gone from their homes and their families for multiple weeks.
I mean, they're going to have outages for 1 to 3 weeks. If this came ashore as a Hugo, and those winds held together, you know, well inland, you know, they could have areas out of power for a month. Typically, when we see something like this, our guys are gone anywhere from a week to maybe 2.5 weeks.
Harry Chase from Entergy Arkansas says 6 employees from this area, including 2 from each office at Flippin, Harrison, and Mountain View, are headed to Atlanta for staging and waiting to see where they will be needed to help restore power. The Arkansas Board of Education has approved a new location for the Arkansas Governor's School, moving it away from its home of nearly 4 decades. The board voted today to move the summer program for gifted high school students from Hendricks College in Conway to Arkansas Tech University in Russellville. The 5-2 vote comes after the Arkansas Department of Education solicited proposals late last year from colleges and universities to host the program. According to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, the schools expressing interest were Arkansas Tech, Hendricks, and the University of Central Arkansas. A 13-member committee had recommended in May Arkansas Tech to be the new site, and the Education Board affirmed that recommendation today. Hendricks has hosted the program for 38 years. Century 21 LEMAC Realty News Time is now 11 past 5. We'll have more in your news, so stay with us. St. Andrew's Episcopal Church welcomes Deacon in Charge Kevin Gore, appointed by the Arkansas Diocese. Meet Kevin on his first Sunday morning, July 1st, with services at 8 and 10:30. The Reverend comes from a small town in Oregon. This May, he received his Master of Divinity from the Church Divinity School of the Pacific in Berkeley, California, and in June was ordained deacon in his home diocese of Oregon. Kevin's desire is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, be a companion to all on their journeys, and be a guide to the sacred mysteries of the Episcopal faith and sacraments. Would you like to see your garden grow bigger, healthier, and more beautiful this year? Try 100% organic worm casting fertilizer from Tea Lazy Tea Worm Farm in Gasville, packed with minerals, completely odorless, and will not burn even the most delicate of plants. Worm casting fertilizer provides rich, natural nutrition for your plants and gardens. Come see Sandy at Tea Lazy Tea Worm Farm. She will show you how they work and even give you a tour. Fishermen, don't forget, Tea Lazy Tea has fishing worms too. 126 North in Gasville, 405-6038. Your news time now is 12 past 5. When law enforcement officers attempted to serve a felony warrant on a Mountain Home woman, 40-year-old Carol Williams, late last month, they soon found their vehicle blocked in an altercation with her 72-year-old father, Lowell Williams, ensued and turned physical. According to the probable cause affidavit filed on Tuesday, officers from the Mountain Home Police Department and the 14 Judicial District Drug Task Force went to the home of Carol Williams' father, where they soon found their vehicle blocked in and were confronted by Lowell Williams. Lowell Williams began cursing the officers and demanding they leave his property. Yelling, he told officers any charges against his daughter were false and he did not know where she was. Lowell Williams asked to see the warrant against his daughter, and he then resumed cursing the officers while swinging his arms. He reportedly stepped and turned at one of the officers while swinging his arms. Because of the threat he had created, the officer struck Williams in the right side of the jaw area with an open hand for self-defense as he attempted to take him into custody. After Lowell Williams was in custody, officers found Carol Williams hiding in the front passenger floor of the car her father had been driving. Lowell Williams was charged with a felony count of hindering apprehension or prosecution, along with misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, assault, and obstructing governmental operations. His bond was set at $5,000. Online court records with Baxter County Jail indicate Carol Williams was charged with delivery of methamphetamine, distribution of a controlled substance, and unlawful use of a communications device. Her bond was set at $15,000. Both Baxter County Sheriff John Montgomery and Izzard County Sheriff Jack Yancey have issued alerts of scammers making calls acting as law enforcement officers. The scammers are informing people there is an outstanding warrant for their arrest for failing to answer a grand jury summons and are demanding money be paid to take care of the warrant. The scammers are spoofing their phone numbers to make it appear as though the call is originating from the Baxter County Sheriff's Office, even using names of department employees. Potential victims are being contacted not only at home or on their cell phones, but also at their places of employment by these scammers. The victims are being directed to withdraw cash money to go to a retailer in town selling Green Dot debit cards, and then transfer the cash to the card. The money is then withdrawn by the scammers and is permanently lost by the victims. At least 2 people have lost money this week by following through with the instructions of the scammers. Montgomery says his office is not taking phone calls to inform people there are outstanding warrants for their arrest. He says those receiving one of these calls should not cooperate with the scammers or provide or confirm any personal information whatsoever. He says don't become a victim. These scammers operate primarily from other countries, leaving no resource or avenue by which to recover money lost to them. Those actually losing money and becoming a victim to these scammers are encouraged to make an official report with a law enforcement agency. In Izard County, Sheriff Yancey also says his department personnel are not making similar contacts advising callers they have a warrant, and consequently, they are not asking for money. Sheriff Yancey says his department would not be calling anyone with the threat of arrest, nor for asking money. Marion County court jurors do not need to report for duty on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Marion County and Circuit Clerk Don Moffitt says the next time jury members are to report is next Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Two burglary cases have been filed in Ozark County Court, with one involving a suspect who is the subject of two manhunts in Baxter County. A warrant with a $5,000 cash-only bond has been issued for Travis Wade Smith of Tulsa in connection with a string of burglaries. Smith is charged with allegedly breaking into and attempting to break into several businesses. He faces one felony count of second-degree burglary in Ozark County. The charge is in connection with the February burglary of the Ranch House restaurant on Highway 5, south of Gainesville. Additionally, Smith was charged in connection with burglaries at Fred's Fish House and the J&J convenience store in Mountain Home. He also reportedly faces charges in Fulton County and in Oklahoma. And Michael Scott Strickland of Pontiac is scheduled to appear on September 25th to face charges of burglary and stealing of $750 or more of property. Strickland was arrested on August 24th and held on a $5,000 cash-only bond. The inventory of recovered items from Strickland include 20 archery targets, 4 target boxes, and a 15-foot ladder tree stand. The regular September meeting of the Baxter Marion Rural Water Association No. 1 Board of Directors is scheduled for this evening at 6 o'clock. No agenda was provided. The meeting will take place at the Oakland Community Center, and all members and general public are welcome to attend. More than 4,300 people who were on Arkansas's expanded Medicaid rolls have lost coverage because they didn't comply with a new work requirement, making them the first to get kicked off of the program under the rule. The Arkansas Department of Human Services on Wednesday said another 5,000 people on the program will lose coverage if they don't meet the work requirement by the end of this month. Arkansas was the first state to enforce the requirement after the Trump administration said it would allow states to tie Medicaid coverage to work. Under the new requirement, beneficiaries must report at least 80 hours of work each month for 3 months within a year. The state says more than 62,000 people were subject to the requirement last month. One item of old business was added to the Mountain Home City Council agenda this morning. The City Council will meet this evening at 6 o'clock. The council will consider amending an ordinance permitting municipal employees to conduct business with the City of Mountain Home. The council will also consider 3 new items of business. Those items include an ordinance granting a variance for the Glenbrier Commons subdivision located at the corner of Laurel Road and East 16th Street. The agenda also includes approval of a code enforcement line item in the city's budget following the receipt of funds from the public safety tax. The final item on the agenda is a street department auction list. The meeting will be held in the council chambers of the municipal building. And funeral arrangements for 73-year-old Roger Doyle White of Yellville are pending at Roller Burns Funeral Home in Yellville. Roger Doyle White died yesterday in Mountain Home. Century 21 LEMAC Realty News Time is now just before 19 past the 5 o'clock hour. Matt Sharp will have the latest in your weather and your sports, so stay with us.